This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Never settle. Unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips. Experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike DiTillo along with Charlie Long in studio at 5:45. Steve Geller will join us for our triple option feature at 4:20. Gary Smith, who does an unbelievable job covering Tulane Green Wave, if it's football, baseball, basketball, will be on with us to talk about the new indoor facility that is being built for the Green Wave and specifically certainly for Tulane football. Also update on Tulane as they play Southeastern, the Lions, this afternoon. Charlie, I think the big news this today and certainly the Phil Galliano news, I don't think was... That was sort of expected that he would get the job, but it's the salary cap. And the NFL making the announcement today that the salary cap jump will go from $255.4 million to an estimated $277.5 to $281.5. And that'll be determined over the next week as the legal counsel for the NFL and NFLPA work out the agreement, and we'll get basically the complete figure on it sometime next week. Most teams in the NFL projected that the salary cap would be 267 to 269. So it took a pretty good jump from what a lot of teams had projected it to be. And basically, if you go by the 268 or 269 that most teams thought, that's a little over $13 million more than it was a year ago, and then takes the jump, let's say it goes to 280, just kind of cutting everything in between. That's a pretty good jump. It helps all 32 teams. Doesn't help just one. It helps all 32 teams. But for the Saints, who are in a salary cap dilemma this year, it gives you a little bit more breathing room to work with the numbers. And again, you'll find out the exact figures sometime next week as the NFL and NFLPA work out the final numbers to it. It is a plus for all 32 teams, but for a team who's $40 or $50 million, whatever the projection is, it's certainly a jump and a good one. Is it significant? I don't think it really changes a lot of your plans because you know what you got to work around salary cap wise when you maybe have projected it to be 270 and it goes to 280. $10 million and you still in a lot of debt, it does help. It doesn't solve all your issues, but does go to show, man, the NFL is a cash cow that keeps rolling in. And over a 24-month period, the salary cap will have jumped over $50 million. You know where it really helps? The players.
That's what I was about to say. It helps the big-time free agents that are entering the market this offseason, Mike. And just think about like T. Higgins. And did you see the report? Jamar Chase wants $40 million per average annual
that
value.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, it doesn't surprise me either. I always thought that kind of beating Justin Jefferson by 1 cent wouldn't make him happy. He always wanted to blow him up.
He wanted a little bit more than the penny. I think maybe when they were both vying for it,
right?
He liked that idea that he would get a few more bucks than Jefferson. I don't know if you'll get $40 million. From the Bengals?
From the Browns?
From the Bengals, there ain't no way.
The Brown family? No, absolutely
no,
not.
No, Mike Brown ain't cutting him no mule. That's going to pay him no $40 million a year. But he's going to get a pretty significant chunk of change out of that. But it does, in a money-driven league now, and we're seeing all these venues, if it's Netflix, Amazon, Peacock, you name it, all that money rolling in, there's a lot of overseas money we don't even know about. That's not even being calculated into all of this today. The NFL has survived in an unbelievable manner like no other sport in America today.
But like you mentioned, the salary cap increase over the last 2 years, $53 million is what it's projected. Over two seasons. That's a gigantic boost. And yes, it does help the Saints, but as you mentioned, Mike,
well, everybody else too.
It helps everyone else as well, but the Saints still have some work to do, even with the increase, to get cap compliant and build a roster for 2025. It's not like this is, you know, the salary cap is increasing, now the Saints are good to go. No, they still have some things that they have to figure out. So
it's a two-stitch on a five-stitch wound.
Yeah, that's a good way of
putting like that. Also today, we're going to have LSU Nickel State, but that has been postponed. I think it's now set up for April, an April date in Thibodeau. I think they play again sometime next week. I think it's in Baton Rouge. Charlie, right. You have the news on that?
So this is the new kind of schedule update. The games have shifted around a little bit. On Monday, February 24th, as you mentioned, next week, Nichols will play at Alec Box Stadium. The game at Ben Meyer Diamond Field in Thibodeau will be Tuesday, April 8th. So things got moved around a little bit. They'll still play multiple games. It wasn't like it was outright canceled. It was just postponed due to the inclement weather. And I think poor field conditions as well reported out in Thibodeau with the storms going on.
Yeah, we caught a little bit more rain than maybe others did. And Thibodeau, I don't know why, but normally you get it there a little bit more than some of the other spots in South Louisiana.
So they will still be playing two games this season. It's just going to be kind of shifted a little bit to where they'll play a Monday game this upcoming week
and then
at
in
Alec
April.
Box. And then they'll play in Thibodeau in April, Tuesday, April 8th.
Okay. Phil Galliano did get the job today as a special teams coordinator. I know we have talked about it a few times on Sports Talk. It, I remember, we know they'd set us up with these interviews with Darren Rizzi every year. And Darren, Bobby would ask him about, you know, what about continuity? And he was, Bobby, continuity on special teams? We don't have no continuity. I lose more guys on special teams than any other unit. He said, you know, I got JT Gray I keep, and sometimes I get to keep the deep snapper. But a lot of those guys, it's changing tremendously year to year. And he said, you know, it's a job that you have to adjust to the talent that you have. And a lot of times guys that are on special teams and their contract's up, they want to go to another team. They want to play a little bit more on offense or defense. You don't have the JT Grays that, you know, basically their specialty is there, or punter, place kicker, and deep snapper. So I think about, you know, when Phil came in 2019, and he's worked with Darren Rizzi the entire time. And I think Darren's the best special teams coach in the National Football League. They redid the rules, and a lot of it was based off of him, his information, and what he thought the kickoff rules should be. And they really like what he had suggested to them. So Phil Galliano becomes the full-time special teams coordinator. I know on one of the Monday night shows when we're doing the coaches show with Darren Rizzi, he praised Phil Galliano and his ability to set things up. He used that term. He did a lot of grunt work for me. as an assistant special teams coach, and it's the ever-changing part of special teams. You don't have the same guys year in, year out, in being able to get the most out of those players. So Phil Galliano, now new special teams coach for the Saints, and the Saints have a new director of sports science in Ted Rath. Ted started his career. He did have a short run in with the Detroit Lions, also the Miami Dolphins. But in 2018, he was the director of strength, conditioning, and performance with the LA Rams. 2018, 2019, and 2020, he goes to Philadelphia, and he was their sports science director of basically there of strength and conditioning from 2020 to 2023. He was not there in 2024. There's a lot of changeover in those type of positions in the National Football League, but people say, well, is to connect the dot with Kellen Moore. Well, Kellen was 1 year in Philly, so he'd heard a lot about Ted Rath, though, and what he had done with the Eagles organization. So change there in their director of sports science for the Saints.
Yeah, with Galliano specifically, we talked with Jeff Nowak about it yesterday. He said it makes all the sense in the world because when Rizzi was promoted to interim head coach, Galliano basically served as the special teams coordinator this past season for the final half of the year. Basically this final 8 weeks. And what Galliano did, there wasn't that big of a drop-off in special teams play for the Saints. And to my point about the continuity from the Sports Flash, it's more of, you get to keep, your current core special teamers in place as far as your kicker and Blake Groupie, your punter, and then also, the gunners that Galliano's been good at finding with JT Gray and then most recently kind of Rico Payton. So that's kind of what I meant by continuity. But Galliano sticking around, getting the promotion as special teams coordinator.
That Smith kicker is going to give Blake Groupie a run for his money.
They both may be NFL kickers, Mike.
And he came to us when we were doing the thing on a radio row, media row, for the convention center. And, man, he's a lot bigger than I thought. To take a good look at him. Man, he's a big guy. And he was like, I was the biggest guy in my village.
He's a little bit different than Blake Groupie.
a lot different. But, man, he made Bobby crack up about, man, I was the biggest guy in my village. And so that was just the way he talked. A great guy. And he gets it that a lot of this kicking is mental, between the ears. And so, but I also understand Darren's part about, man, continuity. We don't get to keep the same guys. Offensively and defensively, they get to keep a lot of the same guys. Man, we kind of, 52 pickup. We pick it up. We get to keep a couple, not just everybody that was on the team a year ago. When we come back, Gary Smith will join us, who covers the Tulane Green Wave, talk to us about the Green Wave playing Southeastern today, and also about the new indoor facility for the Green Wave right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. Like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start. Because where you start matters.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Does a great job covering the Tulane beat for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. And also, he's the publisher of The Wave Report, Gary Smith. Gary, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Gary, is it still 3-1? I know Southeastern had that lead over the Green Wave. Still 3-1.
Bases loaded for Southeastern with two outs in the fourth inning, so Tulane needs to get out of that jam or it could be a big problem on a ridiculously cold day. And, man, am I glad that I'm not at that ballpark.
I get you.
Their press box is outdoors, by the way, for baseball, for the media. So, I'm not. That's not the reason I'm not there. I'm not there because Julie's playing a basketball game tonight, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I have a son-in-law that covers some of that. He's told me a little bit about how it's a bit nippy out there when you're trying to cover it for a baseball game. Gary, is something that I just basically almost got overwhelmed because of so many stories happening in New Orleans with the Super Bowl, with Kellen Moore getting the head coaching position with the Saints, and certainly even LSU baseball sort of tsunamied everything. But the announcement that Tulane would have an indoor facility, and it's being built on Carrollton in the parking lot area.
On Claiborne. Yeah. Right on the other side of the baseball stadium.
Okay. I've heard from Tulane people, it's well over 20 years. Oh, when are they going to build an indoor? And my thing is, man, I can't tell you. I know they have one at University of Louisiana in Lafayette. Mm-hmm. Nichols State's had one. It's in year two. They have one. And, it seemed to be every time they bring in a new coach, we're going to get you an indoor facility. Well, finally, it looks as though that's going to happen.
Right. And you mentioned, by the way, how busy it's been around here. I'll tell you how busy it's been. I wrote a full story. I went to the public meeting on that and wrote a full story on that with quotes from John Sorrell. It never ran in the newspaper. It ran on NOLA.com, of course. But they didn't have room that day. And then I think they just forgot to put it in the paper after that. And it's only as Tulane's new athletic director now, a year into his tenure, David Harris said that was the absolute number one question fans wanted him to answer every time he talked to them. So it's a big deal. Now, it's not an ideal facility because it's going to go on the Claiborne parking lot. It's only going to be 65 to 70 yards. So they're not going to just for in-season practices, you can't run offense scout team and defense scout team at the same time on a field like that. But it's a heck of a lot better than what they had before, which was nothing. if a thunderstorm popped up, they had to either go to the Saints indoor facility on short notice. And, you know, they got classes. They've got other things. You got to deal with the logistics of busing there and back. Now they just have to walk past the baseball stadium to continue having practices. And also John Sumrall told me on a hot day, which every day is in New Orleans early in the football season, like in preseason camp, when you can't do 2-a-day practices anymore, but they do a practice and a walkthrough every day, and they'll love being able to do the walkthrough indoors to just get out of some of that ridiculous New Orleans summer heat. So again, you want it, you'd prefer to have a full field, but they're just simply, Tulane has no space for that on campus, and this is a much better alternative. They were thinking about one that was going to be near the Riley Center on the other side of the football stadium a little ways away, and that one was probably going to be even smaller. So this was the single best option that they had right now. And
Gary,
they're excited about it.
Gary, is it fully enclosed? Because I know the one in Thibodeau, it's like 3/4 down, and you know, because you can actually see. We actually did a remote for Louisiana Line Camp, and we were on one side. We could see through that. It was pouring down rain, but the kids, it didn't bother them. They were inside, so it didn't really matter.
As far as I know, it is. I mean, it's going to be enclosed. It's going to be on the side. They're going to have a removable closure on the side and the top. And for weather purposes, if a hurricane's coming, we saw it happen at Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg, and that's a much bigger facility. So it's going to be removable, but yes, it is going to be enclosed, and it also is going to be the proper width for a football field. They're going to have that too. And then the top, it's going to be about 60 feet. The cover on top is going to be about 60 feet high. The funny thing is that they should have probably run the release by John Sumrall when they did it, because when they ran the release, they said that it was going to allow for kicking and punting. You can't punt in the Saints indoor facility, much less that. So they're not going to be any punting, but they're going to be able to do everything else there.
What is the time frame for that to be to start and to finish? Because it's always later than they. Because listen, I'm in a renovation at my house, you know, and they give you that deal. 2 weeks, two weeks. Man, it ain't never 2 weeks. It ain't never 2 months. Or whatever they give you, you expect the over. Bet the over on it.
We live in New Orleans, and so we know how that works, even more so here than maybe other places. But they did point out to me that they did bigger projects that aren't athletics related, dorms and other stuff, and they finished right on time. So that were much more complicated than this one. But the target date is in August. The season opener is, I think, like August 30th against Northwestern. That's Northwestern University in Illinois, not Northwestern State. They want it to be ready before that. It's likely not going to be ready for the beginning of preseason drills, which will be what, like August 2nd, somewhere around that. That's the target date. And they said they've in the last couple of years, they've completed bigger projects than that on time. So we'll see. But they definitely want it to be ready before the start of the first game of the year.
Yeah, good luck to them. That's all I can tell you at this stage. You got it right. Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. Tim Brando and I were talking about this, and Timmy and I have kind of beat this around, that the way the college football season is, I think that that's going to be a push to maybe jump up the season, to not start this in late August, but to push it up into mid or, you know, say like August 10th or 12th, and not have to go up against the National Football League for your playoff situations. And I think that is getting a little bit of traction, that people believe, okay, well, look what you have to go. Yeah, it's hot. Well, it's hot in September. It's hot in August. Yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. You can't tell a difference between an August heat and a September heat. Not down here, you can't. It's the same.
Sure.
So my thing is, do you think that will become an eventuality, that just because of the logistics and how things are breaking down, and we're going now probably from 12 to at least 16, you know, in the playoff system, that it would be moved up into, say, mid-August instead of late August?
You know, I had not actually heard that. I understand where it's coming from. I'm not a big fan of that for a couple of reasons. This quaint old idea about college athletics being, you know, partially for students. I know that's a crazy idea in these times and that yeah. stuff like that. A lot of schools haven't started semesters that early. There are some places where it is a lot hotter. They are certainly here. You're right. It doesn't make a difference. I mean, the NFL is king. That's not going to change. They definitely need to work on the dates better for when they're doing some of these things. I actually like the idea of having a bunch of playoff games on January 1st. That seems to work well. Going back to tradition, going back to the past with having big games on January 1st. So I'd have to think. I had not heard that. I'd have to think about that some time. And for purely selfish reasons on my part, man, does that cut into my summer break if teams start practicing 4 weeks before the start of the season.
It's going to be like the NFL, Gary. It's going to be, okay, those OTAs. Okay, you work into that. Oh, they don't have preseason in college football. Anyway, hey, roll it out August 13th or whatever. And then, you know, because look what you're going up against in August, preseason football. What?
Yeah.
If you play in these big games, like I think they'll try to project early. Man, listen, all I can hear is the cash register ringing in the background.
You have a point there.
Gary,
no doubt.
Switching some gears a little bit to college baseball season is officially underway, as you mentioned, Tulane and Southeastern. That's now at the top of the fifth, so they did get out of that bases loaded situation.
Yes, they did.
It's still 3-1 here. But the opening season series sweep of Omaha, picking up all three wins at Turchin Stadium. I want to get your thoughts on kind of a two-sided coin flip here. Your thoughts on how Tulane looked in that opening weekend, and also a scouting report on Omaha. They're kind of doing a tour of South Louisiana right now. They beat Nichols yesterday, and then LSU hosts them this upcoming weekend. So your thoughts on how Tulane looked in the opening series sweep, but also your thoughts on Omaha, who LSU plays this upcoming weekend.
It's so hard to judge on an opening weekend. Look, Omaha is not supposed to be very good. I think they actually were the top seed in the Summit League Conference tournament last year and got bounced two straight, but their RPI was like 290 or something, 270 or something like that. They didn't look very good against Tulane. Tulane looked good. They didn't, but I was impressed that Tulane had never in the history of the program with some storied years ever scored 10 or more runs in all three games of an opening weekend series. And they did against Omaha. And I was like, but consider who you're playing. Then Omaha goes to Thibodeau and beats Nichols 5-2. So there's something to be said for that. Their pitching staff did not impress me at all over the weekend. Their control wasn't very good. I mean, LSU, that could be pain for the Omaha pitching staff, but it's so early in the year. You never know. Sometimes teams are supposed to stink, turn out to be pretty good. We'll see.
I'll bring it back to football to you. What do you think might be an area to that Coach Summerall would look at to go back into the second phase of the portal, because that opens up again? It's just like free agency for the NFL.
Yeah, sure.
And you got two versions of it, one early in the year and one late, a little bit later, that he would want to try to upgrade on this football team.
Well, you're never going to turn down a pass rushing defensive end. I think you start there, but I think he's going to be, how does spring practice go? Because we saw last year, he was terrified about his cornerbacks after spring practice. They ended up with a walk-on Rishi Rattan being basically the best cornerback they had by the end of spring. What did they do? They went out and got their two starter caliber cornerbacks in the late period, and two of their top three cornerbacks during the season from that period. So I think you don't ever turn down great players, and Tulane has gotten into a position where they're much more competitive for really good guys. But I think a lot will be on how they practice in the spring and where they identify their weaknesses as to what area they'll hit hard.
Gary, one of the things Coach and he told it to me twice, and I sort of asked him a little bit different both times, and he came back with the same answer, is that, Mike, listen, we recruit guys that we know we aren't going to land coming out of high school. But it's what happens after that. What if that individual doesn't get the playing time that he thought he would get somewhere, and we have a connection with him? And he said that is something that I'm always going to emphasize here. at Tulane that, okay, we got a lot of talent in the state of Louisiana, and I'll go outside to do the exact same thing. But just because a guy, we're not in the bunch to land the five-star, we're not going to back off of him because there is that other option. He may come back and be open to us again.
No doubt. And that's why you've seen Tulane has some big timers in already in the recruiting process that, in all frankness, they're probably not going to get originally. It's the right approach. And certainly he's that's where I'm there. Willie Fritz did an incredible job at Tulane, but John Sumrall has elevated Tulane in the type of players that they're at. I mean, again, I don't have to go any farther than saying Mario Williams. That's a guy who would never have even remotely considered Tulane in the past. He was not happy with where his career was going at USC. He came to Tulane, and boy, did he end last year in terrific fashion. The last three or four games, he was the star on the team when the offense was having a lot of problems otherwise. That's the right approach. Just John Sumrall just elevated recruiting all around, just in who they're getting. They're obviously, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for a non-Power 4 school to get a guy that LSU is going after, that same that the big guys are going after out of high school. But you absolutely have a chance to get those guys the second time around. And if you've already built a relationship with them, which Mario Williams had a relationship with one of Tulane's assistant coaches already, that could be huge down the road.
Gary, I'm glad you staying warm and staying not wet. So thanks for the update on the baseball part.
I'm watching those Tulane players that have like almost like masks on their face. I mean, they've got coverings on their face, and I'm thinking, I wouldn't have done well trying to type on my keyboard outside today in a game like that.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
All righty. Gary Smith does a great job covering Tulane athletics for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate, and also he's the publisher of thewavereport.com. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, I want to thank Gary Smith for joining us as he's covering Tulane versus Southeastern, and at least Tulane got out of the inning with the bases loaded, and it's still 3-1, as what he has reported to us went before he got off the air with us. Want to tell everybody, we've had some texts about it, but today's scheduled game between LSU and Nicholls State has been postponed due to weather and certainly some of the conditions there. There was some heavy rain in the Thibodaux area, so they decided to postpone it. That game has been moved now to Tuesday, April 8th. So Nicholls State will play LSU in Thibodaux on Tuesday, April 8th. But they'll see each other a little bit closer than that, because LSU will host the Colonels at 6 p.m. on Monday, February 24th. Charlie, yesterday we had on Joe Reedy and talking about the Chargers, and he brought up the fact that he only thought one of the two defensive ends would be returning to the Chargers for 2025, and he leaned heavily toward Khalil Mack. There are reports now out on the West Coast that it's very likely Joey Bosa will get a release, and part of that is that if he's on the roster at a certain time, they will owe him $12.36 million for a roster bonus.
Yikes.
So you can expect that Joey Bosa, who has fought a lot of injuries. Last year, I think, was the healthiest season he had in the last four or five. But he's a guy that, man, he's super talented as a pass rusher. But he's missed so much time due to injuries. Looks as though he will be out in the free agent market due to the fact that the Chargers would owe him $12.36 million.
Yeah.
For a roster bonus. That ain't his salary, just roster bonus.
Joey Bosa was someone that really hit the ground running in his NFL career as a former third overall pick. You know, and the production was there because he was healthy early on, but that's kind of come to a halt in recent years, Mike. Like, if you're looking, you know, his first year in 2016, 10.5 sacks, 17, 12.5, and then a couple years later, 11.5, 10.5 again. So he really did hit the ground running, but the last 3 years, five games played, only 2.5 sacks. In 2023, 9 games played, 6.5 sacks. And then this past year, as you mentioned, the most healthy he's been in quite some time. He played 14 games, but the production really didn't match with 5 sacks. So Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack is another one. When we were talking about free agents earlier, Mike, with Khalil Mack, I've seen a lot of kind of reports tying the veteran to like the Packers or something like that. And of course, that's just, you know, another a stud on the defensive line that the Packers could use on that already talented roster. But we'll see what happens with both of them. I agree with you. I think that Bosa will probably be the one that they decide to move on from. But, you know, maybe, I mean, do you think it's the situation where if they do move on from Joey Bosa, they'll do all they can to keep Khalil Mack? Or do you think it's potentially
I think they'll try everything because, man, listen, for his age, man, Khalil Mack, man, he's still a playmaker out on that field. And the thing, he's so versatile. You can use him at end. You could use him as a 4-3 defensive tackle. I even saw a couple times last year, he was on the nose. He was playing over the top of the center. I'm like, wow. Man, at his age to be doing that, and he's such a great athlete. He also has fought some injury issues over the last couple of years, but a tremendous player. And, you know, it happened right down the road from here, but the meetings with the SEC, Big Ten leaders, and I think we're very close to hearing from the SEC. A 9th SEC game on the schedule. I know Tim Brando and I spoke about this, and I think that Greg Sankey is going to submit that to everybody involved in the SEC about playing a 9th SEC game.
Talked a lot about it last summer, Mike, and it's finally coming to fruition. So
yeah, and you know, again, the cash register rings.
Oh yeah.
Because that's what this is all about. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long at 520. We'll have Glenn West, senior writer at go247.com, talking about LSU baseball, basketball, and football. And certainly got a lot to talk about. This is a season where it all kind of mixes all together. So we'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.